No, brother. You're in trouble now. Does Richard sing like that, Brian? We'll have a duet next time here. Well, good morning, everyone. It's so good to see you. Happy Sabbath to you this morning. And if you're a visitor with us, we want to extend a special warm welcome to you. And to also let you know that this is Communion Sabbath. So if you came as a visitor, I want you to know that I believe you came providentially, not by accident. And we invite you to stay by and join us in communion, for it's such a special part of a Christian's life. And we welcome everyone who has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior to participate in our communion service. So please accept that invitation, and we'll see what the Lord has. Let us pray. Father, in the remaining moments before we part for foot washing, I pray your Spirit give wisdom to me and use me, Father, to be a blessing for Jesus' cause and sake, that our church and each person here today would be like Jesus. So use me and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. In preparation for our communion this morning, I'd like to invite you to look at two scriptures with me. The first one is in John, the 13th chapter. So turn with me there if you would. And by the way, if you didn't bring a Bible or forgot it or left it in the car, there is a Bible in the back of the pew in front of you. I invite you to follow along so that this sacred word of God, the power in it, will impact all of us, even as I read and you follow. I'm going to start with verse 1 of John, the 13th chapter. And here it is dealing with the foot washing service. Now, before the feast of the Passover, John 13, verse 1, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to his Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, he rose from supper, he laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself about. And then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel with which he was girded. Now let me stop there and invite you to go over to the writings of Paul, 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, where Paul reiterates to us what took place on that night in that special occasion that Jesus instituted. In fact, as you turn to 1 Corinthians 11, I want you to note that Jesus attended the Passover feast, and there he transformed it into the communion service that we acknowledge and we participate in today. And notice how Paul tells us what the Lord told him about communion. Starting with verse 23, 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Then it says, therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, So let him eat the bread and drink the cup. Now, I want to stop right there as we prepare for the foot washing to encourage you and maybe some who aren't here today that you may know about, that when we have communion, it is true that certain individuals exclude themselves from it because of the last two utterances I just shared with you. And indeed, they are to be taken very serious, for if anyone eats the bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner, he shall be guilty of the body and blood of Christ. And that causes some not to come to church at communion. And so I want to deal with this issue briefly before the foot washing. What exactly does Paul mean there? First of all, I want to encourage you by notice verse 28, which I already read, which follows this about being guilty of the body blood of Jesus Christ. But let every man examine himself. I want you to know that this is a time of reflection, folks. In fact, the foot washing is a time of confession. The foot washing is a time of humiliation. The foot washing is a time of cleansing. Those who drink it unworthily and are guilty of the body and blood of Christ are those who are not being honest with God and with themselves. And so, in other words, in order to participate in communion, it's just a prayer away. That's all it is. It's a time to open our hearts to God and say, look, I haven't been right, forgive me. Not to exclude yourself from the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, because we see that if you're a Christian and you accepted the Lord, you occasionally have to go through this ceremony to reinforce it as well as to replenish it. In fact, he said to Peter, unless I wash your feet, you will have no part in me. Oh no, Lord, wash my head, wash my hands, everything is filthy. He said, no, all I need to do is wash your feet. By the way, that's why Adventists do the foot washing before communion. Please notice that it's a time of examination. And I want you in these brief moments, just before I dismiss you, which will be shortly, to begin to reflect on this. Tell the Lord you're sorry. Prepare for this great event because God has a blessing for you. Also, here's the second point. Verse 29, for he who eats and drinks judgment on himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick and in a number sleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord in order that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Now that's incredible. When you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you may not come together for judgment, and the remaining matters I shall arrange when I come. Do you understand any of that? I have labored with this for a long time. Let me cut through some of it using the spirit of prophecy as well as some history. I want you to know that the church was coming together and certain select individuals were eating while others didn't have food before the communion service. They were being selfish. They were not caring for the needs of their family members. And so going along with examining yourself, brothers and sisters, in your mind's eye, I want you to go through the church right now. I want you to look around and see if there's anybody here that you've neglected. I want you to look around and see if anyone is in this congregation today that we ignore. I want you to look around today and see if there's anybody in here you've offended. Because if you have, now's the time to take care of it, and you will not be guilty of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And this church can come together in unity because it'll be sensitive to one another's needs. This is what was not happening back when Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church. You see? this issue. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. In fact, in the Greek, that's ekdekomai. Ekdekomai is a compound word. It means to accept from some source. In other words, don't be focusing on yourself. Break out of that habit, folks. Let me tell you something. I can say this to you. My wife will pick up details that just go right over my head. Do I praise God for my wife? Because if it wasn't for her, I would miss things that even a pastor should see. So I know some of you are guilty of it. Look around. Who's hurting in here? Who have you neglected? Who keeps coming, but no one's made a friend with them? They might not be dressed just right. They might not be the size, shape, the right color. If there's anyone in here, we're guilty as a family of this statement right there. And communion is a time to call our attention to these details so we can refine and mature our community, which is called the family, the Fallbrook Seventh-day Adventist family. Amen? In your mind's eye, look around, folks. Is there someone we need to visit, encourage, call, pray with? Is there someone we offended, slighted, hurt? Today's the day. Now's the time. And this will make our church a better church. And don't think for a second that this will demean you in their eyes. In fact, let me tell you why I read John 13. Because Peter was horrified that Jesus would wash his feet. Because in their mind, see, that's done by a servant, not by the master. But Jesus shows that the master will stoop to any level to minister to our needs because he's trying to get us to minister to each other instead of ourselves the way the disciples were doing it, right? In fact, do you know the reason that Judas carried forth his betrayal? He went and betrayed Jesus because he was rebuked by Jesus, even though it was casual, when Jesus sort of looked at Judas and said, "Leave her alone." He went out that day and made a deal. But he didn't carry it forth until he saw Jesus stoop and wash his feet. And when he did that, he realized, this isn't the kind of kingdom I want. I want the authority, the power, the fame, the fortune. I don't care about little people, insignificant people. And so when Paul uttered these words about the body and blood of Jesus and being guilty and taking unworthily, part of that referral was to the fact that we're neglecting one another. God forbid that our cliques, which I think to some degree are normal, necessary, and helpful to a church family, that God forbid that the clique becomes so exclusive it never sees outside. It never perceives around them. It doesn't have that spiritual insight to know there's somebody next to them that needs to be encouraged, loved, prayed with, talked to, invited over. I want to see our church like that, folks. I want to be like that. And so notice, if you would, in closing here, in John 13, Jesus said, "Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." He loved them to the uttermost in the Greek. Let us love one another to the uttermost. And let us wait on one another. And therefore we'll be the real family that God intended our church and his churches to be. So at this time, I want to dismiss you to the foot washing. And again, if you're a visitor and you'd like to participate, please know that we have the ladies meet straight out the door here and walk straight ahead in one of the Sabbath school rooms there. You'll see the ladies. Gentlemen, go out the door, take a left and curve around. The men meet over there, and for married couples or families who would like to do communion, the fellowship hall is available to you, so you have three options. Now, for the children, I invite the children to stay in here during the foot washing for a children's story, and I'll tell you who's going to tell the children's story. If one of you doesn't volunteer so I can wash somebody's feet, I have to tell the children's story. I forgot to get a children's story. So it'll either be me or you if you volunteer. But we'll leave the children in here, and they'll be under my care. And so, in a sense, I'll be washing the children's feet by telling them a story. And the rest of you will be dismissed at this time. So please, even shoot a prayer to heaven right now. Who should you serve? Is there anything you need to deal with? And who can I be a blessing to? With that thought in mind, God bless you. You are dismissed.